7th was the Sunday. You can get that message. But his second message, which I will go back into this, his second message, he was saying, God is so good to me. And David just said it over and over and over. And I'm looking at Brenton and Susan because Friday we had many a phone call. And Friday, Brenton was just busting at the seams to tell a story where God was so good to Brenton, really to Harrison, and a lot to Brenton. Harrison went to take his driver's test. And what I didn't know is nowadays it takes months to get that appointment. And York is filled up to April. So where did you guys have to go? Chambersburg, with a teen that is biting at the bit, okay? And mom and dad love him so much that they would drive him an hour plus to Chambersburg to take his driving test, okay? They get there, and Brenton remembers or finds out or the lightning goes off is that his horn in his car that Brenton was going to take the test in doesn't work. Now, I didn't get the significance until Brenton said, they won't let you take the test. Oh, Harrison, wah. But God is, I can't say it. How did David say it? God is so good to me. He has such a cute little accent. Anyway, David would say over and over, God is so good to me. Is that close? God is so good to me. That Harrison's buddy, Reed, just happened to be in Chambersburg taking his test, because that was the closest they get appointment, and they let Harrison use his car. God is so good to me! And Harrison and Dad, who was feeling probably like, oh gosh, you know, listen guys, we have a God who loves us. And he loves doing these diddly-widdly things that at the moment is not so little. It's not so. God is big and his love is big for us, isn't it? Whew. Look at someone and just tell them, God is so good to me. Amen. Hallelujah. Now his insurance, what? Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, listen. 4 or 5 kids, we know what that insurance deal is. Okay. But listen, God is so good. All right, let's pray, and I'm going to try to get through this message and follow some notes. If not, I'm just going to toss them in the air. Just here we go. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for you're so good, you're so love, and your word is so good for us that it continues to explode life into our life so that we can enjoy this great life you have for us and we can touch people's lives you place before us. Today, I thank you that this word would just be so big and bright that we, the house, would get a hold of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, how many of you know that I have a few little quirks in my life? Please laugh. I do. I'm going to name a couple of them. One of them, I can't stand trash in the trash can. In the bathroom. No, the kitchen's okay, but so for whenever there's trash in there, I just pick it up and throw it in the kitchen because I don't like trash in the trash can. Okay? One of my little quirks. I recently have gotten this way. I don't like dirty clothes that I'm about ready to wash to be inside out. Okay, so I have to turn them right side out and before I put them in the wash. Little quirky things about me. And I like everything in order. Before I get and read my Bible in the morning, I have to have things in my vision put in order because I'm distracted, really, that's why. So I have to have it in order. When my kids were little, we could trash the house all day long. But when I went to bed, I had to put things in order so that when I'd wake up in the morning, I could feel like I could start this day and go, yay, we're going to make it, okay? So some of my little quirks, all right? Now, there was a saying, you might even know it, and it used to be mine. You want to pop that up? It became my mantra, is that how you say? There's a place for everything, and everything in its place. Okay? There's a place. Why don't you say that with me? There's a place for everything and everything in its place. Okay? Now, therefore, I have been known to throw out very valuable kids' homework and do some dumpster diving with a kid crying. Because it wasn't in the place. So my kids will probably need therapy, you know. Okay, because my mom. All right. Now, also, one time when Jack was in the mountains hunting, I decided to sort by color code size and shape, the tools in the garage. So when he came back, they were in size, order, and color. That didn't go over too good. But I felt so good, all right? I'm also the person that hangs summer clothes on this side, short sleeves over here, long sleeves over here, cottons over here, polyester knits over here, and in color order. So I know you all think I'm a little bit OCD. But just so you know that I'm not OCD, I, like all of you, have a junk drawer. See? And it's trashed. It's just everything you throw in there. So I am balanced. Okay, I'm balanced. Right? Now, God in his infamous wisdom usually matches you up with people with a different philosophy. Like Jack. Jack believed the general vicinity was sufficient. And I figured out he had piles and I have files. And the piles were in the general vicinity when you want to go looking, all right? Now, because of that, probably 2 to 3 times in a week, every morning, we would have some, intense fellowship about the subject of, honey, do you know where my keys are? And I came up with a not nice saying, wherever you left them. Because since we moved into that house, which is coming up 27, 28, 29 years, I forgot how old. Okay, almost, let's round, 30 years ago, I have had in the kitchen this little brass, looks like a key, and it has hooks, nails on it, okay? And for almost 30 years, guess what that thing's for? Hang your keys up! Instead, 2 or 3 times a week, we'd have this frantic, honey, you know where my keys are? And, you know, I'm like, well, if you just put things in order. Well, now, frantic. I love it. I love it. All right. Now, it's interesting, though, there's nothing more fulfilling in life when God agrees with your philosophy. Yeah. And you can go to the Word, and God agrees with you. Really, I agree with God, all right? And we're both on the same page. And I get to say, honey, but okay. So everybody turn over to 1 Corinthians 12, would you? This is going to be our key theme scripture we're going to go through. All right. I'm going to read out of the NIV. I'm going to show you that the Apostle Paul and me all agree with God. Or God agrees with me, but, you know, I should probably say God, okay? And God agrees that everything has a place, and everything should be in a place. So, you know, I preached myself happy getting ready here. All right, everybody with me? 1 Corinthians 12, NIV? All right, here we go. Oh, okay, wait a minute. Let me give you a little background. The beginning of 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is kind of pulling his hair out, because the church there decided that one was saying, oh, man, that Apollos, he is just amazing. He's my favorite. And the other one was saying, Paul, oh, man, he's amazing. He's my favorite. I forgot who the other guy was. Paul, Apollos, and whatever. It's in 1 Corinthians, right? So Paul wrote this to kind of clear up the situation. And I'm going to jump in starting at chapter 12, verse 12. Chapter 12, starting verse 12. But the body is a unit, though it is made of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized. This isn't water baptism, by the way. For we were all baptized one spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, we were all given one spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but many parts. If the foot should say, because I am a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Aha, this part's good. But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wants them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts and one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. All right. Now, I love this. I especially love verse 26 when it says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And as I was studying that, the Lord reminded me the impact of that verse. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And he brought me back to, I think it was in fifth or sixth grade, and I was playing across the street at my good friend Chrissy and Karen. And I don't know where Karen was, but Chrissy and I decided that we would play tag in the house. Big no-no. And their house had this center core. Like you'd come from the kitchen and you'd hit this little circle. You'd come from the dining room and you'd hit the circle. You'd come from the living room, the stairway, and the bathroom. So we decided to play tag, running the house. Okay, now let me just say, Chrissy probably weighed this much. She was this little string bean, you know, she just was this thin thing. And I probably am a lot shorter than I am now and weighed as much as I did. So as my brother would call me, Tubby Dee Dee, I would be, oh yes, it was great growing up, you know. What do brothers say to you? So we're running, and Chrissy is trying to catch me. And you know those blessed throw rugs? The one without the rubber back then, I hit that thing, bam, and it went, and I went smash on the ground, and Chrissy, thank God, was on top of me and not underneath me, okay, all right, and when I got up, I was in excruciating pain on my hand. So, matter of fact, I think it was bent in a funky position. So Chrissy looks at me and she walks me halfway across the street because she didn't want to tell my mom what we were doing. And I walk in the house and my mom looks at me and I'm crying. And next thing I know, she throws me in the car. We go into Holy Name Hospital, the only hospital in Teaneck, New Jersey. And we walk in the door and I swear my mom would walk in the door and everybody would go, hi, Barbara. Because there were six of us, two brothers, and I think she was forever there. So she's on first name basis. Hey, there's Barbara Gagan. Oh, wow, she's here again. And so they throw me in a room. I get an x-ray. The doctor comes out, and he says, I have broken my wrist. Okay, I've broken my wrist in four places. Yep. And I want to tell you, immediately that thing just puffed up, and I swore it was popped out, and, you know, I was just really bad. But Before my accident, can you guys throw that up, that picture? Before my accident, I did not know that there are actually 8 little bones in your wrist. Didn't even know that. Now, I could probably tell why you know that, all right? But I didn't know that. Matter of fact, some of them are as tiny as my little pinky nail, all right? I didn't know anything about those 8 small bones. Matter of fact, I'd never even seen them until I had my accident, all right? And I was in excruciating pain. And just for the melodrama, I want to tell you that I was crippled and immobilized temporarily, okay? Believe me, I was playing the drama queen. It hurt like a sucker, okay? It just really hurt. And now listen, I was crippled and immobilized all because of some little tiny bones that I didn't even know existed, I'd never seen, I didn't know anything about, okay? Now, that's sort of like the church, all right? The church is full of a whole bunch of little tiny bones, right? Yep. And some of them we think are weak and indispensable until you play tag and you fall on them, right? And they hurt like the stinker, all right? Now, the fact of the matter is in the church, many of us think that they're unimportant. Those little tiny bones are unimportant, all right? But the thing is, those little tiny bones had the ability to make me immobilized, okay, crippled, as I tried to milk it for a whole month with my brother, all right? And sometimes we think that if I don't go to church, doesn't really matter. Besides, I sit on the last row, the last corner, and if I don't show up, it doesn't matter. No one's going to miss me. Or how about my tithe? It's such a smidgen, you know, I don't make that much. It's incidental. So if I don't give it, it doesn't really matter. It's just insignificant, right? Or it's not like I'm an elbow or a leg or a head. You know, I'm just sort of a little tiny thing that's insignificant. You know, and it's not like I sing on the worship team. All right, I can't sing, I can't preach, so it doesn't matter if I come or I do. Because, you know, I'm just this little tiny bunch of bones, right? All right, now. But I'm here to tell you, it matters. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, it matters. It matters, all right? Because not showing up matters to God. And when you embrace the place, 8 little bones, it matters. It matters, all right? Now, I was incapacitated for a while there. I couldn't write. It was really hard getting dressed, and washing my hair was, forget it, it didn't work, all right? Okay, now the body of Christ, the church, by the way, how many of you have asked Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life? Now you're a follower of Jesus. Raise the other hand, because now you are the church, okay? You are the church, you are the body of Christ, all right? Now, sometimes the body, if we're not careful and we don't understand that it matters, you know what? We start devaluing these little tiny bones, okay? We start, the 8 of them, we don't think too much of them, all right? So we devalue it so much when the Holy Spirit starts talking to you and says, Shauna, pick up the phone, call Ellen. And you just blow it off, because I'm just a little tiny one of those little 8 bones, okay? Or if the Lord puts on your heart, Michelle, go babysit for Matt and Melissa. They need a break. What? And we don't listen to that. We devalue, because I'm just one of those little 8 tiny bones, only as big as a little fingernail sometime. Okay, everybody say devalue. But listen, you know what God says? How dare you devalue the place I've put you in? How dare you devalue that I have put you in place? and you matter. All right? Now, you know why we get like this? Because we kind of have this celebrity mentality, culture thing going on. We think the guy that's in the big spotlight is so important. The one that's got all the limelight is the so important one. We don't think this. We think the, you know, I want to say the big mouth. You know, listen, God puts bones and ligaments and 8 little tiny bones, and they're all important to God. So look at your neighbor and say, you are important to God. You are important to God. God created you and he placed you. He placed you. All right? Now, so we're not to devalue because I'm not sensational. I'm not even cool. Don't do that. You matter. You're important to God. Now, can you imagine if the whole body of Christ, the whole church, this house, started seeing the potential that you all are? Just look at that person next to you. Oh my gosh. They've got potential. They're amazing. Yeah. Someone's laughing over there. Okay. Listen, can you imagine that God has put us in place and it matters and we're important? Turn over to Psalm 92. Psalm 92. Now, Psalm 91 is like one of my most favorite chapters to read. And one day when I was getting up early and I thought, well, I'll just venture on over to Psalm 92. All right, Psalm 92, verse 12. Psalm 92, verse 12. It's really just, oh gosh, where should I start? It's good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to his name. All right, verse 12. The righteous, if you have asked Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life and you're a follower, that's you. So you could say your name. D is the righteous, and she shall flourish like the palm trees and grow like the cedars in Lebanon. Now those cedars in Lebanon were big and strong. So D shall flourish and be big and strong like the cedars in Lebanon. Verse 13. And those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. All right, and 14 is so good too. And they shall still bear fruit in their old age. That means you don't quit until you get your last breath. And they shall be fresh and flourishing. Da 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 da. Okay, now. Did you notice it said, well, rather, it didn't say, it says, you'll be planted in the house of the Lord. By the way, this is the house of the Lord. YCF is a house. All right? Now, particularly, this scripture talks about your personal relationship, but it also talks being planted in a house. The house. This house. So I'm going to use this house because I'm the pastor, all right? So it says that those who are planted in this house shall flourish in the courts of the Lord. It didn't say those who occasionally attend the house. It didn't say those who decide to bless us on their presence. No, it says those who are planted in the house where their roots grow deep shall flourish. Everybody say, in this house. Say flourish. All right. Now, our lives, you can say it this way, our lives are going to flourish when you're planted. Say planted. Our lives, I didn't write this, but I tell you, I've lived this and I've seen it in my life. Our lives will flourish when you're planted in the house. All right? Now, if we could actually look in the spirit realm, we'd probably see this crippled, barely making it along kind of church, because we devalue how important our place is. We devalue, everybody, if you're taking notes, just write that one word, devalue the place God's placed you. We devalue the place that God's placed you. And we really think, oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's just me. I sit in the last row, okay? It does. My service in children's ministry doesn't matter. They don't even know my name up here. Okay? How about my contributions in service doesn't matter. My, gosh, how about my, attendance in a grow group? You know, it's Sunday night in the singles grow group. It doesn't matter if I show up, does it? All right. But it says you have just devalued the place he placed you in. That's what it says. All right. How about service in the community? How about it does matter? Because I'm here to tell you, you matter. You matter in the place. These little 8 little bones matter, and God has placed them in a special place. He put 8 bones there. 8 of them. He could have put 1, but listen, if he put 1, I wouldn't be able to do this. He had to put 8 of them to do all that. So it matters. Your little pinky bone, little thingamajigger matters, all right? Everybody say, it matters. Now, when I broke my wrist, I had to get a cast. I swiped this from downstairs. It's really a pipe cover, okay? And I cut it apart. I'm sorry, Brenton, in case you wanted to use it downstairs, all right? I had to wear a cast, and because of the severity of the break, there was 8, there are 8 bones. I had 4 of them. They had to take this thing really far up. Plus, it was like, how old am I? I'm 60. It was like 50 years ago. They probably do it a whole lot better. And then I had to wear a sling for the first week or so. All right, let's see if I can do this. Can't even do it with 2 arms here. Okay. Da-na-na-na-na. All right. Okay, now, let me get it here. All right. Okay. So, after I broke those 4 little bones that seemed so insignificant, I had to wear a cast. And you know what happened here? This is my right hand. And the way they made this cast, I could not write. I could barely put a pencil in there and hold it together, so I had to learn how to write with my left hand. Okay. And if my right hand handwriting was pretty bad to begin with, my left hand was worse. All right? So I'm learning how I'm having to write with my left hand. And now y'all know I have a twin brother named Johnny. Guess who had to carry my books? You know, I milked it, baby. He was not too happy. It is, in case you didn't know, in 5th and 6th grade, it is uncool to carry your sister's books. Now, here, let me take this off here. All right, now, you kind of get the picture that one part of the body, okay, when it's broken, the other part has to compensate for it. One part, when it's broken, not working right, doesn't wanna, I don't matter. The other part has to compensate for it. Now, especially if you break a leg and you're on crutches, it's really hard to compensate. I've seen people walk on crutches, and all the weight goes on the good side. All the weight, they have to carry all the weight because this side's not functioning. It's crippled. It's immobile. I don't matter. All right? And you know what happens to this whole side? This whole side? They carry half the weight. They're carrying half the load. They get burnt out. They kind of fall apart sometimes. They get weary. All because this is crippled, immobile. I don't feel like it. All right? So, what does the church look like? What does the church look like? All right? This side, the whole bunch of you that are doing the stuff that this side's doing, we just kind of barely making it after a while. After a while, we get plumb worn out. We're kind of barely making it. All because some teeny little bone got broken. All right? Now, but God has set in place you in the body, in this house, because it matters and because you're so important to him. And if everybody would embrace the place that God sets you in, Everybody, embrace the place that God sets you in. Man, we'd be flying. We'd be flying. The church of Jesus Christ would just be soaring, wouldn't it? All right, now. So everybody say, embrace your place. Can you put up the picture of the knee? I have a good friend, and she did something dumb. If she wouldn't have done what she wasn't supposed to do, she wouldn't have gotten in this boat, but she kind of fell off of a ladder, which she wasn't supposed to go because her husband told her, don't go up the ladder, and she fell off the ladder, and she broke her ACL. Now, I didn't know what an ACL was until she went into great length to tell me it is a critical, like, rubber band. It's like a rubber band that holds the, I'm just going to get this right, the femur to the tibia. It's in the knee. It's in the knee. And it's critical because when that thing tore, besides being in a lot of pain and actually crippled because she couldn't walk, all right? Now, it was such a bad tear, and there's a whole bunch of things that were broken. Besides that, the doctors decided that they were going to have to do a special surgery, and they were going to take some of the hamstring muscle and put it there where the ACL, yeah, okay. Now, can you imagine if the hamstring, right before the surgery, says, I don't want to be a hamstring. I'm tired of being a hamstring, all right? No one even recognizes me. No one even sees me. I'd rather be the mouth. The mouth is big. The mouth, everybody hears the mouth. The mouth, the mouth, the mouth. I'd rather be a mouth. I don't want to be a hamstring. I'm not going to be a hamstring. Can you, what would you say? That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous, okay? Now, there's a whole lot of hamstrings trying to be elbows, hands, mouths, ears when they need to be a hamstring because that is critical for the body to function correctly, all right? Now, can you imagine if the whole body, all of us, get into our place and do our stuff? What would the church look like? Well, let me tell you something. If everybody is in their place and functioning because it matters, it says the gates of hell shall not prevail. And you know how it happens? It's because of what Jesus did, okay? But it's because we're in place. When we're in place, man, things go moving, all right? So, when you finally get into your place, let's just say you finally decide, oh, Sherry would love this. You finally decide that you're going to be the ACL, okay? You finally decide you're going to be there. Do you know what God does when you're finally in place? He gives you grace to be in that place. Years ago, it was the first time I'd met Christopher Alam, who's a missionary to Africa, Asia, all over, okay? But it wasn't that I met Christopher that was so fantastic. I got to sit down with his wife, and I was sitting at a table with a whole bunch of ladies, and they're all going, oh, poor you, your husband's away 2/3 of the year. Oh, poor sweetie. She whipped around. Now, Britta is from Sweden. She's absolutely stunning, and she has a quiet voice. But man, when she whipped around with that finger, I was like, duck. And you know what she said? God has given me grace for this place. And that is why I can do it and you can't. Well, shut my mouth. Okay? God gives you grace to be in the place that He's placed you in. And that's like a power to do so you don't get burnt out, weary. And I could not do Britta's place. No, half of you women wouldn't want to do Britta's place. But Britta, this was the place God placed her in, and He gave her grace for the place. So listen, when you're finally in your place, You know you've got grace, and you will flourish like the trees of Lebanon. You'll flourish in relationships because you know what? Look at all of this here. I don't know where they were before. Okay. They're in relationship. It's not about this one thing over here. When God places you in the body, you'll flourish in other relationships. You'll flourish in your emotions. You'll flourish in your bodies. And I'll tell you what, you might even flourish in your finances, because God will give you grace for the place He has placed you in. Amen? Now, write the word, if you're taking notes, disconnect. Disconnect. Okay? And by the way, you have to, a lot of this is trusting God when you finally figure out the place. And by the way, the place He's placed you in changes in seasons. You might be this place. Okay? I'll tell about that later. I get ahead of myself. All right. Write the word disconnect. Write the word disconnect so I don't disconnect. All right? Sometimes we disconnect the ligament and we put it over here. We disconnect the elbow and we go, oh my gosh, did you see that elbow? Wow, that's an elbow. Okay? And we take that elbow and we place it all the way over here and we disconnect it from the whole body. Sherry's arrangement, who she gets really excited about when I rearrange him, okay? Now, okay, so sometimes we do that. Okay, let me make this way. How about we have this amazing musician that comes and we go, wow, that guy, did you see his gifts? He's amazing. And we place him all the way over here. Gosh, did you see their gift? Wow, they're just tremendous. Okay, but we disconnected it from this whole bunch over here, the body. We disconnected it. Okay, now, what happens when you disconnect a part of the body and you place it over there? You take the attention off the head of the church, and it's all about you. And that's just stinky, all right? So when you disconnect from working in the place that God placed you in, and okay, I'll give you an example. This is, okay, better. Oh, gosh, I have been working in the nursery for 10 years. They don't even know who I am. But I love those babies. You don't even know what I do with your little babies. They're good things, by the way. I just read to them, and I just love them, and I pray over them. You don't even know what I do. You never even see what I do. So I'm going to leave and start my own nursery. You know what you just did? You disconnected from the body, the whole body. And now it's about you, because if I disconnect and start my own, then you're going to see what I'm doing. It is about me. No, listen, guys, it's not about us. It's about the Lord Jesus, and everything, the place He placed you in has to do with a relationship that always points to Him and what He's doing. Okay. All right, so, now, I don't know what your places are. Believe me, I'd like to all hand you cards and tell you what your place is. And a lot of you, I called you up already. Who'd I call up? Susan, I called you up and I told you, I gave you a card. And Susan said, oh, yes, Pastor D, I love that place. I love Susan because she helps me out. But really, I don't know the place that God has placed you in. That'll come by you getting quiet and maybe me asking you, all right? But so much better you get it first than me telling you, all right? So, I don't know. Maybe you're raising three kids and you're thinking, I just want to do something big. I'm sick and tired of being home with those three little kids. Well, that might not be the right thing. Or, I am so tired of this job. I never get to see anybody because I work second shift. So, I'm just going to go bag it and get another one. Or, how about this? But what if God placed you there in that place because He wants you in that place? And we're always looking for something out there. But what if God placed you there? All right, now, what if God placed you there because he's doing a work? How many of you remember Joyce Myers? How many know Joyce Myers? I loved her story. She said, now listen, she goes all the way around the world. She's the biggest name. And she is a godly woman. God has placed her in that position and gave her grace. Because I don't think she's home but maybe 5 weekends the whole year in her own place. Okay? God has placed her in that place and gave her grace. But did you know she didn't start there? She tells a hoot of a story where she started in her house in a Bible study. She tells a funny story, sitting on a chair with her short shorts and smoking a cigarette. Okay. God started her there in that place to get her to this place. Brother Copeland, at an older age, went back to college to Oral Roberts University, and because he was a pilot, they found out, and he became the pilot for Oral Roberts on his crusades. So that must have been back in the 50s, right? Boy. Okay. And because he was the pilot, you just didn't fly, drop Brother Oral off, and go grab a burger. No, you had multiple job descriptions. And he tells the story that after Brother Oral would preach, they would take people into the prayer tent. I call it the miraculous tent. And Brother Roberts worked side by side with Brother Oral Roberts. And we wonder why he's in the place he is now. But he didn't start there. He started in that place. Going to college, he was old. But I always go, watch what you call old these days. I found out, wow, watch it. But he started in that place because God was doing a work in him to get him to that place. So if you're one of these little yellow ones, don't think this is insignificant, because I have a hunch if you stay in that place. By the way, God knows where to find you. He knows where to find you. And when you're ready, he'll get you to the other place. Well, I'd say this place here because we don't. Okay, let's come back here. I'm going to ruin my thing. Okay, he'll get you to the place. All right? Sort of like that. All right, now. Okay. If you've been assigned to cut grass in this place, in this house, that's fine. And when you've done it, and God says, oh, they're ready to go to a different place, he knows where to get you. He's not misplacing you. Oh, I wonder where I put him. He knows your place because God puts you in the place. So stay in the place. Be faithful, all right? Have an excellence in your ministry. And then when God says, you're finally out of the nursery. No, I love the nursery because I get to play with the toys. All right, now. So if you're taking notes, there's grace in your place. You have to be you, I have to be me. There's grace in your place. Yeah, there's grace in your place, okay? You need to embrace your place and stay in your place. Now, what happens when I'm in this place and the Lord's speaking to me about places coming up? All right? What do you have to do? Stay in your place. Now, the prophet Samuel was sent to the Jesse's house, all right? And he was sent to go and anoint the next king of Israel because Saul really blew it, all right? So he gets there, and Jesse parades out a bunch of his sons. And Samuel's looking. Nope, 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 nope. And he goes, those aren't any of them. Do you have another one? Don't you have some more sons? And they go, oh, yeah, we got the kid. The kid's in the field. Listen, God knew where David was. One, David was in the place God placed him in, and God knew his place. And what does God do? That Samuel says, well, bring him out here. Takes one look at him, and he goes, this is the anointed next king. All right, and he got moved. So stay in your place. And I'm going to tell you, stay in your place and enjoy it. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Enjoy it, and God gives you grace, and you'll flourish in your place. All right? Now, sometimes, oh, praise the Lord, I don't want to. Now, Jesus had an I don't want to attitude once, all right? He's in the garden. Turn over to Matthew 26, would you? Please. Please. I always say please here. Matthew 26, verse 39. Jesus is in the garden the night that he's betrayed, the night that everybody jumps ship, the night that he knows, the night before he knows he's going to do something, all right? And he knows he's going to die. But you know what? He needed to embrace that place, but he didn't want to. And you go, see, Pastor D, I don't want to. I can get out of this. No, I'm going to say it again. Jesus was in the place. He had embraced the place, and yet he didn't want to. But for the joy of the cross that set before him, he endured. Okay, he endured. And okay, let me read this. And this is what he says. This is the enduring part where he goes, my Father, if it be possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will. All right. And you know, he didn't want to, but he knew the place. He had embraced it. And it's okay for a second to say that. But you get into that place and you stay in that place. And you do not your will, but God's will. And you start flourishing. So how about if you're in a place and you're going, man, God, my family's a mess. It is bad. And God says, embrace the place. Stay there. Endure. Because I have you in that place and I am about ready to move mountains and change lives. But you need to stay in that place. All right? How about you have the worst boss? All right? And he's an idiot. And he tells everybody what to do. And he doesn't do squat. But God has placed you there because you are the only light. And that boss of yours is watching your life and he's placed you in that place. And if you embrace it and know that God gives you a grace and you stay there, you will see things change. And sometimes, you know, we go, I'm offended. I'm out of here. All right. Sometimes we say, no one recognizes all that I'm doing. I'm gone. All right. Instead of embracing and staying in the place. How about this one? Nobody appreciates me. See you later. All right. And yet God, in just as Jesus' example, he stayed, he embraced the place, he stayed in that place, and God just did what he really wanted to do. Salvation! Could you imagine if Jesus jumped ship then? He didn't. All right? Praise God. Amen. Okay, how do I wrap up? How do I do this? Okay. So, what if the body of Christ, one, figured out their place? Two, they embraced their place. And they're going, I love my place. And yeah, sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's hard, but I like the place. I like this place. I like this place. I don't have to be this place. Okay, I like this place. What happens if the whole body embraces the place? I'm pretty sure God knows what would happen, and he's waiting for everybody. And in this house, if God has called you to this house, you have a place. You have a place. You have a place. And if you want to ask me what the place is, I'd be glad to tell you. Okay, but I'll give you 24 hours to figure it out. All right, before I call you. But you have a place. And if everybody's taken their place, this whole body just moves really nice. And we are called to do big things. YCF is called to do things, to do great things. One, reach York County, and nations. Oh, Pastor D, that's a little outrageous. No, read your Bible, Matthew 26, okay? That's what the Bible says. So this place, if God's called you to this place, this house, everybody say this house, you have a place, and it matters, And God needs you to be doing what he called you to do. All right, how about bow your heads, close your eyes, because you're tired of looking at me. No. Father God, I thank you for all the hamstrings, the ligaments, the ACLs, and the little tiny bones in a wrist. I thank you that these people here embrace the place you've called them to. I thank you, Father, for these people here are planted in this house for such a time as this. I thank you, Father, that they hear and they joyfully embrace the place. And I thank you, Father, that you're causing them to flourish in every area of their life. And Father, for those here that have all of a sudden had the lightning bolts go off and said, wow, I think I'm a kind of a spiritual consumer, consumer instead of a consumer, and I've been taking, and I think I'm called to this place. Father, I pray that you'd open their eyes, show them the place, remind them that their place is valuable and important, and they make a difference in people's lives. There's a world that needs them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, everybody say, it matters. This house, this place. Amen. All righty. Tonight, okay, again, water baptism. If you have never been water baptized, if you know somebody's, now, please sign up and let me know, because I want to give them a phone call and just kind of ask them a couple questions. Actually, I'm going to write down their testimony. I used to give them the microphone.